All stations, all stations, all call signs. This is Wrecker Actual, over. Stand by for transmission. Prepare to copy. This is American Vindicta. Well, hello there, patriots. My name's Doug Thornton. You're listening to American Vindicta. I want to start off by saying thank you to all the sponsors for this show. And thank you to all the listeners of this show. Everything that you do to help me through donations helps to further the progress of what I'm doing here. And I assure you, I'm not being lazy. I am constantly working around the clock with this show, doing interviews at all odd and end hours all the time. And every bit of donations that you give to this show goes straight into this show. So I just want you to know that I do appreciate it. And I'm still working on the Wrecker Chronicle series, just an update for everybody. There's camera equipment that has to be bought that is more expensive than what I wish it would be. But hey, good quality means priciness every now and then. So, you know, we're working on gathering the funds for that. And I have a couple of short movies and the scripts already wrote. And they're going to be pretty intense. I'm not going to lie to you. I don't know what some of you are going to think, but they're not going to be nice. They're not going to be comfortable. They're going to putting myself, I guess you could say, into the situation of where you might be when we find ourselves during the middle of the 2030 agenda, during the middle of the beast reign on Earth. It is my opinion, and as to how I'm going to show it through the Wrecker Chronicles, how I believe some of these events will, I guess you could say, mentally shape the playing field. It's already going to be hard enough, if you read through Revelation, for those of us who are probably not going to be a part of that beast system, probably not taking the mark. So if you can't buy, sell, or trade, that means you can't pay bills, you can't rent, you can't have a mortgage, you won't be able to get a loan for a car. How do you pay for food? You probably won't have a cell phone. So how do you communicate? Well, you're probably also not going to want to stay by yourself during all those situations. So my point of view here is with the Wrecker Chronicles, it will be a banding of Christians finding themselves heading to the mountains where God has called us to go. So that is that's the end goal of this, is to kind of show you a journey of how I believe it could go. I think you'll like it. If anything, it's going to be a lot of fun making it. And I don't know. I think it's going to really put a new way of looking at Revelation and a new way of looking at Christians being put in very compromising situations, or the ability to have a compromising situation arise, because everything within the Wrecker Chronicles is going to be situational based. So it's not exactly a narrative that I've wrote here. It's not a narration of a story. It's going to be putting Christians into really iffy positions as to what would some of the better, objectively reasonable situations, what would their outtakes be? You know, like coming across people that aren't supposed to be like your group, and you find yourself in the middle of fighting them. You know, let's just say you overpowered them and you fought them. What do you do with them now? Do you tie them up? Do you kill them? Do you take their possessions and rob them? Do you let them go about their way knowing that they could track you down, go find others, and come back for you? These are the situations I shall be placing myself in. And a lot of it will be drawn on my military experience, my law enforcement experience. So, you know, it hits my aspects of how I think things would roll out for me. Anyways, with that said, we have a question from one of our listeners. His name's Adam. And Adam, I told you I would personally answer your question on the radio. He said, "Hey, Doug, I enjoy the show and I've written you before. I wonder what you think about churches, more specifically pastors, being unable to speak out about the beast system being installed all around us for fear of losing the tax-exempt status. In my view, this is a major problem. My friend and I are talking about this, and he basically told me there's nothing I can do about it. What will happen will happen." And his question is that what God wants? Does he want us to lay over and die or to stand up? And do I have a biblical explanation for this? Basically, I'm a very confused Christian during these times. And what say you, sir? Well, let's break this question down. Pastors who are unable to speak out about the beast system, which is the mark of the beast, for fear of losing their tax-exempt 501c3 status. Well, all I can say to you is that if you are called to the cloth, if you are called to be a minister, a pastor, a preacher, a reverend, a priest, whatever your title is, if you're called to be a man of God who is supposed to teach the flock about the good news, about the Bible, to put Jesus' name back onto the streets, of which his name has been forgotten, in order to save souls. And one of those parts of educating the people would be explaining to them the mark of the beast. If you are a teacher of the word and you're afraid of losing your sponsorship, if you're afraid of losing people coming and putting, you know, butts in the seat, I guess you could say, well, God has special things in store for you. You're not supposed to add to or take away from the Word of God. And if you willfully leave parts of the Bible out for fear of whatever, then you could be leading souls to damnation, which then their blood is on the head of the church, of that church. All right, but also, ladies and gentlemen, just because your pastor, minister, reverend, whatever, and even if you are a pastor and you're listening to me right now, you're not above the people who are in that church. You're not a king. You hold no more titles than anyone else in that church except for the fact that you are leading people. But that does not give you the ability to shirk away part of your responsibility that you told God that you would take that responsibility upon your own head and teach and preach. If you have been succumbed to the beast system, and you're not willing to even talk about anything like that. Well, for one thing, I guess you could say, there are elements of the beast system in my eyes. We're in it right now. When you have all these mega churches, large denominational churches, that for one thing, they preach and teach outside of the Word of God. They have their own man-made dogma, their own man-made religion, with their own rules And, you know, of course, as the leaders of churches, a lot of times they don't have to follow those rules, you know, because they're treated like little mini celebrities. I don't go to those places. I would call that the synagogues of Satan. I'm not ashamed to say it. I'm not saying that those of you who go there seeking the word because you were invited by friends or family because it's such a fun time, I'm not saying that you are a participant, but hey man, do your research. Walk around, shop around with churches, right? You know, and worst case scenario, do like I do. Have church in your house. I live in an area where I've visited many churches, and I found that they are lacking salt. And because of that, and because I see that the rule that the elders of these churches have over the people who go to them, you know, I've said my piece and I walked away. But when people willfully live in ignorance, what can you do about it? That's why we should be waking one another up. That's why iron should be sharpening iron. If your pastor says something incorrect or is teaching something that is not given to us by our Lord, well, parishioners, that's your responsibility. That's your responsibility to confront that pastor, to confront the leaders of your church. Hey, how come you never talk about, you know, gay marriage? I've never heard you say anything wrong about it. How come you never say anything about the end times? How come you never talk about hell? How come it's always the hip hop, the flip flop wearing Jesus? I said hip hop there for a second, didn't I? It's always the flip flop wearing Jesus, you know, the happy hippie Jesus that we always see. You never talk about fire and brimstone. You never talk about people who paid for their sins like Sodom and Gomorrah. Why is that? Well, because there's an agenda. These men and women who go on to want to preach the word of God, they go to these seminaries and they go to a lot of these other college-related theological stuff, and they get taught a very dogmatic approach, let's say like this, a very governmental approach to religion, a very government-authorized approach to religion. See, religion has its uses, especially to the masses of people who are going through hard times. If you look back in history, whenever people were going through hard times, and they wanted to start to blame the kings and the queens, or they wanted to start to blame the centurions for the beatings, or they wanted to blame, you know, the knights for not protecting them against the barbarian hordes of from my ancestors. You know what they would do? These people in power, they would go to the churches and say, "Oh, well, good, honest people, it's not my fault that God is punishing us. It must be your sins that's bringing it to us. So a little bit more gold and silver, please, to buy off your sins. A little bit more prayers, and send a prayer for me as well." Even though most of the time, it's corrupt politicians leading us astray. And corrupt politicians have deep pockets. They have a lot of contacts. And then somewhere or another, they get into the church. And once they get their claws into a church, it's like a vulture ripping apart the pieces of the carrion left on the field of a battle. They will pick at every single thing that's left on that dead body until it's nothing but bones. Just as Ezekiel describes, a valley of bones, which is what the churches in America have become, a valley of dry bones. I see a lot of singing. I see a lot of worshiping. I also see a lot of bullshit. I also see a lot of empty, I don't know, how would I say this? Empty worshiping. Because you're trained to sing songs. You're trained to run up and down the aisle and throw yourself down like the Pentecostals do. I'm sorry if you're a Pentecostal. I'm going to hurt your feelings. You're trained to lay hands on people and, you know, do this weird karate punching demons out of people. It's all show and tell. It's fairy stories. It's not real. That's your man-made doctrine. And those same people who say that they are conduits of God, but yet commit great sins themselves. This is why I'm very wary of what we call the church in America now. We do have a church. We have a government-sponsored church. We have a government that is sinking its talons into the carcass that was the church for Jesus Christ. And people are led astray. I feel that I have friends of mine that are led astray. I pray for them. I hope that God opens their eyes to it. There's a lot of New Age movements now that is within the church. And these New Age movements have been around for decades, by the way. They're not like new from last year. So, you know, and there are mighty men and women of God. I have very good friends of mine that are mighty men and women of God that are also caught up in stuff like this because it's doctrine. Well, you know, my family taught me this and my cousins taught me this and my area taught me this. I didn't grow up in a church, so I don't have these excuses. I don't want to say I'm a baby Christian, but I've only been a Christian for a few years. You know, and even with that, the whole, oh, well, you're just a baby Christian. Half of you people that call yourself this full-blown Christian who only wants to eat the meat of the word, I see right through most of you. If you're someone who's a former pagan to be able to take this book and take it literally, that's shocking. It's shocking to me how many people that call themselves followers of Christ that don't take the book literally. I mean the Bible, by the way. You know, quick question. How many of you actually have read cover to cover Revelation? You'll be surprised when you ask people, have you ever read Revelation? Oh, well, no, I haven't. How long have you been going to church? For about 20 or 30 years. Oh, God. Okay. Well, how do you know anything about the end times then? Well, the pastor tells us. Is it the pastor's job to tell you everything in the book, even though throughout history, the education system has granted us, gifted us the ability for almost everyone on this planet to read and speak a similar language called English. Many of you out there do not have an excuse for why you don't read your Bible. You just don't. And because you don't read your Bible, you don't prepare yourself spiritually. And what manifests physically comes from the Bible. You are going to feel it spiritually. Men's hearts will fail them for fear of what's coming upon this earth because they didn't even read the book. They turn to the pastor. Well, hey, pastor, what's today's agenda? Well, we're gonna talk about Colossians and Ephesians, and then I'm going to skip around on 20 different verses, and we'll talk about football, and then we'll go have us a turkey dinner and some baked beans. Well, hallelujah, brother. Why is it that church only lasts like 45 minutes? Has anyone ever asked themselves that? Has anyone ever asked themselves why church service is so short? I know within the Baptist, that's my wife's religion that they grew up in, you know, I would go to their family church, and boy, do I have a problem when people say that. This is my family's church. I didn't know that you owned the church, ma'am. Good to know. You know, you have to understand something. People take ownership, and once they've taken ownership, they think that they're saved. Well, my family built this church, so I'm saved. No, you're not. You absolutely are not. You have to stay upon a very narrow path. And the world is a whirlwind, a hurricane, hitting you in every direction. Every direction. Front, back, left, right. Trying to knock you off course. Trying to appease you to come to another side. The side could be the Democrats. It could be the Republicans. It doesn't matter. The moment the Republicans say that they are going against doctrine of what Jesus talks about, because trust me, many of them already do, but the moment they actually come out and say it like the left did, this country is overwhelmingly screwed. I would use another word, but people get upset whenever I use obscenity, so I won't do that. And you know what's funny about that? I said I wouldn't say anything about this for a while. People who get upset about obscenities, but yet you'll allow abortion clinics to still happen in this country. That's interesting to me. You care about my language, but yet when's the last time you went and protested for the life of an innocent child murdered in the womb? Food for thought. For all you men who like to call yourselves lions, but yet you've turned into humble house cats. That's a Viking proverb, by the way. You're welcome for that one. All right, so next, let's go to this next question. Is there anything that we can do about it? Is there anything that we can do about the beast system? Well, no, you can't. I don't believe there's anything you can do about what's going to happen. It's prophecy. I will never take away the fact that God's providence can stop calamity. But that really, and I mean really, only happens so many times throughout the Bible to give us examples. But, hey, walk through your town. Just try to find 10 good men to prove to God. Just 10. You know, I think we live in an age where revelation is being unfolded in front of us. I think it's okay to say that. If you can't say that in church, well, whatever. You know, don't go to that church. That'd be my advice. I would tell you that the technological systems that are being developed across the world or leading us to a one world order, obviously. A new world order. And what we see is the new world order in a fight with the old world order. I believe that was Jamie Walden who was telling me about that. And I've always kind of surmised it that way, but never as eloquently as Jamie put it. And because we have this scrum, because we have this little fight going on between these elite families around the world. There are other things who have joined this conversation, by the way. It's not just the dynasties and the royal families. You also have technological companies like Twitter, like Facebook, like Amazon, like Tesla, and others, like the military-industrial complex, that have set up their own little fiefdoms, their own little kingdoms. Kingdom versus kingdom. Ethnos versus ethnos. Race versus race. I would love for all of us to just get along. I really would. And for all of us to beat the swords into plowshares. But that's not prophecy. I don't believe there's any way to turn back the hands of time of prophecy in America. I think we've spilled too much innocent blood, and that innocent blood cries out to God. 70 million children. No other nation on earth has done that, probably even collectively. But The Democrats will do it willfully, and they'll call it women's choice. We are so lost as a nation. We are so lost as a people. There's not one species on this planet that genocides itself like humans do. Maybe insects, right? Maybe insects. But there's no other species on Earth that genocides itself like humans do, willfully. And not just willfully, but we attach a spiritualness to it. Go to some of these abortion clinics. You'll see the Satanists out there, or the pretend Satanists. There are differences whenever you talk about like the Church of Satan and Satanists and Luciferians and the New World Order occultists and all the different occults that go in it. It all has to do with blood sacrifice. If our dear brother, Russ Dizdar, was here with us still, he would be able to break this down for you in a way that I just can't. Because I haven't been in this game long enough. I've played in other games. Let's just say that. So the spirituality game for me is still fairly new. So that's why I lean upon the teachings of someone like, you know, Brother Russ Dizdar. Which, by the way, Tom Dunn is one of his compatriots. You know, look into what those guys are doing. I would tell you to go to the Shadow of the Darkness, I think it's .net, and to just start re-listening to Russ's podcast. You know, probably one of the best one is the one that's over Wevelberg's Castle, the Nazi Temple of Doom. That's a good one. But, you know, many of these people would tell you that you can't stop the hands of time, you can't stop prophecy. I think it would literally take every Christian in this country, every Christian in America, going to the Masonic lodges, going to the any houses of, quote, worship that's not of Christ, and going to all of these satanic temples, the pagan idols that you see everywhere, the monuments that you see everywhere, the idolic monuments, the Georgia Guidestones, the, you know, Washington Monument, the Capitol. If you break down what actual occultism is, and you start to just find these monuments all across America, also go ahead and tag in the Planned Parenthood buildings, the slaughterhouses, the abortion clinics. You would need to bulldoze every single one of those. We would have to tear down every single grove that these people meet in secretly. We would need to tear down everything that has to do with human sacrifice, blood sacrifice, occultism, New Age stuff. You know, we would have to regain the ground. Like Joshua and Caleb going into Jordan. Not waiting, going in. Going in and taking command of the ground, conquering. And conquering doesn't mean that we go and we protest and we say, hey, we're Christians and we blessed a little rock and we put it down here and ha ha, look. No. You have to tear down the idols. And if you're not going to tear down the idols, if we're not collectively going to get together and take back the country, then you better prepare for the judgment. And part of that judgment is going to be the beast system. Part of that judgment is going to be these technocratic companies that are creating every piece of infrastructure, monetary possessions, technology, the transference of that technology through the internet. All that is being created for the need to pave the way to the Antichrist. I firmly believe that. Every bit of it. Because it's going to be used by him. Every bit of it. Starlink will be used by him. When they encompass the world in satellites, where can you run? I tell this to friends of mine when we talk about bugging out, when we talk about prepping. And I've done this to many people before. And I say, pull up a picture of the United States, state by state. Point out on the map where safe is. It's not. There is no safe place left in America. You can go underground. Good luck surviving in it. Most people don't know how to properly bandage themselves after a second-degree burn. And you're going to go live underground where bacteria accumulates? Okay, stand by for diphtheria. Most people don't have an answer for the common medical problems that happen to them while they're out in the bush. And you're going to willfully survive the apocalypse? Not on your own. We will survive by God's word. That means we'll survive based off of our faith. We'll have accoutrements with us. We'll have our knives and our flint and our steel. You know, we'll have some lighters on us. We'll have our backpacks, probably still have some guns with us. You know, you'll have what you're taking with you, what you can grab, by the way. You won't be able to take that entire bunker with you that you buried under your house, because the goal is in so that you can't even own the house. Well, if you don't, you know, if you don't get onto the digital system, well, then we, how do we know you pay taxes? Well, I'll just pay my taxes in cash. Sir, there is no more cash. But if you just download this app and connect it to your bank, we'll get you squared right away. It's made for your convenience. And see, there's another problem. Christians, we rely upon convenience now. When's the last time you relied upon God? I relied upon convenience for a very long time. The government conveniently gave me whatever I needed to accomplish the missions that I had to go on for a very long time. Imagine what happens when you can't fill up the tank anymore in your car. How many of you are in shape enough to walk 5 miles? Just imagine, how many are you in shape enough just to even go for a hike in the woods up a mountains? You know, you're able to go bow hunting, you hit a deer, and that deer runs a good way. You know, are you in shape enough to trek after it? Do you know how to responsibly process that deer or hog? These are questions that I ask people. And, you know, and Brother Adam, thank you for sending me this. I hope I'm explaining this somewhat. But, you know, I would like to, I guess you could say, recount what Jesus says. I have given many of you many answers to these questions. What have you done with them? There are books that you can have so you can start learning knowledge. The world isn't on fire yet, so you don't have an excuse to go out into the backyard and practice some of these life-saving skills. You can meet up in groups and practice these things. You can hit me up, email me. I will give you as many examples as possible. You know, it's not hard. There are plenty. You can go to the YouTube University and you can just look up all different types of stuff. You know, between how to stop bleeding, you know, how to properly, I don't know, boil a chicken so that you can get all the feathers off of it. How to process game, how to process fish, how to catch fish, how to hunt properly. You know, how to use camouflage, how to shoot, the different positions of shooting. All that stuff's on YouTube. There are millions of videos of how-to stuff. People just don't do it. They just don't look at it. And they say, well, teach me. I can't teach everybody. If I could, I would. I have 10,000 other things that I'm doing here myself. You know, I luckily, I guess you could say, I already have 90% of this knowledge with me. But at any moment in time, let me tell you what I can't account for. A broken leg while I'm by myself. That's just grit. So there's a lot of that where you're going to have to learn how to just use that grit. Get a little gravel in your crawl. Get a little mean every now and then. Push yourself. Make yourself endure pain. It's good to provide. It provides you with self-esteem, for one thing, because then you start to say, well, I can push through pain. I can go a little further every day. I can lift a little more every month. You know, you can start off by just having a knife and whittling a pointy stick, and before you know it, you can make a spoon. You know, test yourself, push yourself, not just through physicality, but also education. Learn another language. You know, brush back off the chemistry books and the history books. Learn something. Don't just sit on your ass and expect the world to give you everything. It's not going to. You don't deserve the world to be given to you. None of us do. We need to go out and earn it so that way it means something to us. Because for all those people where everything's been given them something, just look to those people whenever calamity happens. They're the first ones freaking out expecting someone to save them. Be your own first responder. Learn how to self-rescue. Learn how to pull yourself out of bad situations. And one of the best ways to do that is by putting yourself into a controlled environment where you can acclimatize yourself to bad conditions. Very simple. Try and make camp. Try and make base camp. All right? On a clear, sunny day. Next time, wait until it rains. Go and make camp. You're going to have a completely different experience. It's going to be miserable. By the way, I want you to start fire outside in the rain. I don't care what you have to do. Start a fire outside in the rain. Be ingenuitive. Now, for most people, they will literally sit there and try to rub sticks together while it's raining. Hey, find a way to make a canopy. Pull out your Bic lighter. Find some dry tinder and light it. Use your brain. But that's the problem with most Americans. Most Americans, and I give most Americans the attribute of those that I see at Jersey Shore. You just live in the dream. You just live in to live. Living day by day, just enjoying the Twitter content and enjoying my vacations that I take every other week. Okay. I hope nothing ever bad happens in this country, especially to those people. I'm prepared for the bad. I purposely put myself in bad situations so that I can consistently learn, because I'm never a master of any of this, by the way. I'm consistently learning. And you know what I've been learning lately? I'm getting old. I've been learning lately that I'm not as young as I used to be. I can't just jump from rock to rock like I used to be able to. I used to do like free climbing and stuff. I can't do that anymore. I have a right hand that halfway works. So thank God it works somewhat because it's my shooting hand, but my left thumb's just almost useless to me. So, you know, I have to learn how to use mechanical advantages now. Just for my own trekking, just for my own, you know, hiking and survival techniques. You need to be learning these things about yourself. You know, you're not 20, unless you are. But for most of us, we're not 20. We can't just, you know, jump out of a tree, roll down a hill, hitting rocks on the way down, and pop right back up and say, I'm good. You know, we have to learn how to take care of ourselves, but you also need to push yourself into very difficult situations so that when those difficult, dangerous situations arise, you're at least trained. Your body is toughened up. Your mind is toughened up. And you're ready for it. And that goes for men. That goes for women. That's for people of all ages. Anyone is a victim at any point in time. To stay a victim, though, to stay victimized during these events, that's going to be up to you. You know, I've given these, when I used to teach the active shooter awareness classes to federal employees, I've given these examples, and I've read the examples of women that were attempted kidnapped, you know, right out in like a Target parking lot in the middle of the day. You know what they did? This one lady, she was like 120 pounds, little bitty lady, mid-30s. She fought back against two grown men who literally picked her up off the ground. And she struggled and fought back to the point that she was too much of a problem. They dropped her. She got a fractured skull from it, but they dropped her onto the pavement and drove off. Fight or flight, right? You need to learn your fight or your flight reflexes. You need to learn what you can do with your body. I tell everybody, you're never too old and you're never too young. Put yourself in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. Go find you a place. Start learning Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. Learn how to grapple. It's a great way to put yourself in shape, for one, and it's a cardiovascular shape. Now, there are a lot of you really big, tough, strong guys out there, you know, that, you know, you can bench press the world and you can tell everybody about how hardcore you are. But trust me, I've grappled for at least 15 years now. The moment I take you down to the ground, I'm going to make you cry in a matter of moments. All fights go to the ground. One way or the other, either you get knocked out and go to the ground, or you tackle one another and you go to the ground. These fights never stay standing up. If it is, it's not a fight. It's peacocking. I've been around enough inmates and prisoners and people that I've arrested to know when men are peacocking, and that's 90% of men. Learn how to fight. Get in shape. Educate yourself. Learn survival skills. What's it going to hurt? You know, it's okay not to know what Kim Kardashian is doing next week. You know, learn something new. I'm going to go to a break. I'll be right back.
Klaus Schwab from the World Economic Forum has said, "You will own nothing and you will love it." And that's represented by what's going on across the planet today, where the economy of the world is in free fall, and nowhere is it more in evidence than with our own President Biden deliberately trying to sabotage what we have, access to food, other resources. So Americans are in a unique position, really for the first time in our history. We're going to have to provide for ourselves or subject ourselves to the whim of the government. Do you really trust a government to feed you that left 1,000 Americans behind enemy lines in Afghanistan? I don't think so. So where do you go? When you ask the question, who's the best prepper out there today? There's only one answer. Ready-Made Resources and Robert Griswold. I call him King Prepper, and that's how a lot of people think of him. You have everything there you'd want, from night vision to storable food, how to prepare cooking in emergency situations, books and videos on how to prepare alternative energy, communication, first aid that you wouldn't think of, natural antibiotics, you name it, Bob has it. Now, here's the good thing about Bob Griswold that no one else does but him. You don't have to buy anything to talk to him. If you're not sure where to start with your preparation, no obligation phone call directly to Bob. You can talk to him for free. Most people will charge you an arm and a leg for a half-hour conversation. That's not Bob Griswold. He cares about helping America get prepared. Go to readymaderesources.com or you can call the number directly at 800-627-3809. Again, that contact information, readymaderesources.com for the best prepping outfit in the country, or call Bob Griswold directly, 800-627-3809.
All right, and welcome back. This is American Vindicta. So as I find myself just rambling today, I'm going to give you a pause from the whole searching for UFOs and save the rest of that for next week, which, by the way, next week's going to be intense. We have L.A. Marzulli on next Thursday, so that's going to be interesting. L.A. is a wealth of knowledge. And to be honest with you, a lot of the stuff that he finds, I'm jealous of, super jealous of. All these guys that get to go on all these expeditions in all these different countries and be Indiana Jones. Man, that stuff's cool to me. So pay L.A. Marzulli a little bit of love. Go to his website, lamarzulli.net, and check out his On the Trail of the Nephilim. He has some compelling evidence in there. You can't deny it. You can't refute it. So, and at the Hear the Watchman conference, I got to actually hold a mock example of one of the Paracas Preus skulls. And it's otherworldly when you look at this skull. For one thing, as an adult, it's very small. It's very elongated. And that's my first time I ever got to see an elongated skull, let alone hold one in my hands. But you can just tell there's nothing about this that's human. And we'll allow L.A. to dive into that next week. I'm sure he's got a lot in store for us. And I'm going to probe his mind about the UFO question. So we'll see where we get. Real quick, we're going to hit the news. Did you hear that the man who was charged by the FBI... one of the suspects that was in this supposed plan to kidnap Governor Whitmer, that he has now been released and found not guilty. Wow, isn't that interesting? You know what's interesting about that is that that was a FBI-led program. And one of your suspects is released, found not guilty. Wow. To me, that says volumes. It says absolutely volumes. Well, what else is going on? Well, Joe Biden is reinstating the COVID-19 injection mandate. Just when you thought it was gone, now it's back. What else is happening? Well, something that's really going to affect the United States. I promise you, it's really going to affect the United States as a whole. We now have a new member of the Supreme Court of the United States. And I'm shaking my head in disbelief even saying this. But Ketanji Brown was approved not just by the House, but also by the Senate. And now she's going to be a Supreme Court justice. Someone who is willfully, knowingly easy on pedophiles. So I believe this is the beginning of one of the new narratives. If you haven't ever heard of my way that I talk about narratives, I believe things are wrote in narratives and events. And in between all these are incidents that happen, and these incidents typically are things that, you know, people lose their lives over. But one of the new narratives that's being wrote is, and I'm sure there's plenty of people out there thinking this, or at least talking about this on talk radio, that here soon in America, we are going to see a legal exception to the rule of pedophilia. I can't believe I said that. But I think we're going to see a legal exception to the rule on pedophilia. They're going to lower the standard for adults to have sexual relations with children, with minors. And you know what's going to happen when all that starts? Not only are there going to be a lot of dead people, because dads are going to be out there wielding anything from a melee object to a flamethrower. Could you imagine being a dad and you have, like me, I have a 10-year-old daughter, and some sicko says, hey, you know, your daughter looks X, Y, and Z. Is she single? I think the closest thing that you could probably say is we're going to need a coroner and multiple body bags, because I would rip that dude apart. And I don't care if I go to jail over that or not. I really don't. And I think there's not one grizzly dad out there like me that would not viciously rip someone apart for trying to sexualize one of our children. But I will say this, there are plenty of men and women out there in America who are going to go along with it. And it's going to shock you. It's going to shock you. For me, it doesn't make sense, the whole child pedophile thing. That's a whole nother layer of depravity and mental illness and sickness. You can call it demonic possession. You can call it whatever it is that you want. For me, all I can tell you is that if you survive the ass beating of a lifetime, which you should get, and if you survived the shooting, which these people should get, you should not be in jail for pedophilia. I'll agree with that, Kentaji Brown. I'll agree with you. You should not go to jail. They should take you out to the swamps and tie you to a stump and let the alligators and the rats and the ants do the rest. I do not have time, nor do I give privilege to people who want to sexualize and attack our children. Nor do I have the time to give to politicians who believe they can also act the same way. Why do we not hold these people accountable? Why do we let them get away with it? Just imagine, before COVID-19 broke out, what was the major thing everyone was talking about? It was Jeffrey Epstein and Epstein Island. Ooh, did we forget? All that went away. Kentaji Brown. She was part of the whole Pizzagate scandal. She's the reason why there's no convictions. You mean to tell me the only reason why Joe Biden put her out there as a Supreme Court nominee is because she's a woman and she's black? Get out of here. I don't believe that. You mean to tell me, and even if so, if his agenda was just to put a black woman into the Supreme Court, I don't really care. Good on you if you get it. But may the best person win. That's kind of my mindset. I want the most intelligent people to be the Supreme Courts. And you mean to tell me that there's not another black woman out there who wasn't a... Who wasn't a leftist? Who wasn't easy on child sex rapist? There wasn't one woman out there. I don't care if she's a Democrat or not, really. You know, if you're a Supreme Court, I would hope that you would be unbiased and more aligned with just law. But, you know, it is what it is. But you mean to tell me Kentaji Brown was your best pick? No. No, this woman is going to help open the closets that are keeping all the skeletons. She's not hiding the skeletons anymore from these people. She's going to be the keymaster. She is going to be the gatekeeper to letting out all the demons, to letting out all the sickos. And just watch, probably we'll have like a national thing where in federal prisons, because that's the only thing they can really manipulate, that federal prisons will say, well, you know, the child sex charges have all been lowered now, and then all those freaks will be released. Just like all the freaks that were released during COVID-19, you know, all the murderers, the gang members who, guess what they did? They went out and robbed and murdered people. This is the New World Army. This is the New World Order. They will call good bad and bad good. This is what we have to look forward to, Christians. Be prepared. I don't know how many times I got to say it. Be prepared. Stay prepared. Get up off of your excuse that you sit on 10 hours of the day. Go outside. Go for a walk. Go for a run. Discover a new sport that you like. Learn to read a little bit more. You know, learn to read some survival books. Learn to read some good stories. You know, get your mind out of the gutter and filth that is your phone. Moby Dick, that's a real good one for me. Learn some survival skills, test yourself, push yourself, get your friends and family involved for one thing. Get your friends and family involved because you need a support system. You're not going to gray man through the doomsday scenarios alone. Not for very long. You know, everybody talks about, oh, I'm so awesome and I have all this awesome gear and I'm so ready for anything bad to happen. And then there's that one moment when you're walking around outside and just like what happened to me in Iraq, you know, you got your cool nods on, you got all your gear, and then you forget depth perception while wearing night vision and you snap your ankle. Yeah, good luck after that one. Because that sucked for me. They just had to wrap my leg up and I just had to walk on it. You need to be testing your gear. You need to be doing a gear check, going to the gun range, you know, tightening your groups. You really need to be increasing your draw strokes, make them faster and faster, your magazine release or your emergency magazine drills. You need to be practicing those because there's a lot of key things in the element of survival of a gunfight hidden right there with a magazine exchange. All right, I'm done talking. It's Friday. It's April 8th. We're all still alive. Ladies and gentlemen, if you want to support me, the best thing you can do is to share this information, pass it around to your friends and family, your coworkers, let them know that there's a crazy guy on the internet. There's another one anyways. Make sure that you stay prayed up. Please, stay prayed up. Stay safe this weekend. Thank you to everyone who's listening to the show. My name's Doug Thornton. You've been listening to American Vindicta. I'll see you next week. All stations, all call signs. Prepare for transmission. This is Wrecker Actual. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. End of transmission.